Just because it's been raining for days. There is a wonderful play by Benjamin Britten called Noah's Flood that may have been helpful for today, but we weren't going to do that. So we're in here, and I saw you didn't bring your animals. That was a good choice on your part not to do that. So we did not, however, really change the service that we had planned for Blessing of the Animals in any particular way. So we planned to have it a little shorter since it would have been outside. That's why there wasn't a song after the first reading. But hey, a little bit of silence can be very, very helpful, very helpful. I want to just let you know one other thing. Today, after we're finished and in the coffee hour and so forth, Gage has brought some bags. The scouts are collecting food for the food pantry for the Goochland Free Clinic and Family Services this week. So, Gage, why don't you show us the bag? So, Gage will be in the back at the end, and if you would like to take a bag and fill it, you can bring it then back next week, and that'll go to the food pantry, in addition to what we do every week anyway. But that'd be great, and helps the scouts. And what we're doing is we are locking arms with anyone who wants the signs of the kingdom extended throughout this region. And one of them is the day when there's no more hunger. Every can of food you give is an announcement of the day when Jesus returns and there's no more hunger. So that's why we're just really delighted to be able to share that with Gage and the scout troop and anyone else who does that. So all those things is what we do. Yes. Excellent plan. Good. All right. Very good. So that's our administration for the day. I think we can go on with worship. But what I'm going to do is share with you a few things about animals and following Jesus and so forth. Even though we're not blessing animals today, if you have animals at home, you can go home and bless them. I'm sure they'll be happy to see you, especially if you have food. That's usually the way that it works. So where did all this come from? Hi, come on, take any seat you want. Yeah, that'd be great. So this goes back, of course, to Jewish practice. And I mentioned Noah's flood. In Noah's flood, there was the blessing and deliverance of animals as well as people, as you may recall. The ark was filled with animals in such a way that they could reproduce after the floods receded. And that's a blessing and a deliverance as well. And there's all kinds of examples of that sort of thing throughout the Old Testament and in Jewish practice, as well as for us. We saw in the gospel reading today, Jesus riding a colt that had never been ridden on before. That takes a close relationship with that animal to do that, to get especially up a hill through a crowd of people. There's all kinds of things like that. And the first reading from Revelation, it starts out, I just love that reading. I've used it many times for funerals for animals, horses especially. By the way, any of you who have friends or if you yourself have an animal that dies and you want some prayers over that, just email me, call me, whatever. I'll be happy to do that. If you have friends who are in that situation, be happy to do that as well. And done it many times and happy to keep doing it. And one of the reasons that we do that is we actually do believe animals will be in heaven. You may have wondered, well, are animals in heaven? I don't know. Well, here's biblical proof. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Well, you know, if there's no animals in heaven, how did the horse get there? That's my first question with that. And there's other things. So we also see that there's an army on horses coming out of heaven following Jesus. There's more than one. There's all kinds of animals in there. And that's a very powerful and important thing. And the reason that it's very powerful and very important to us is that our relationship with animals and all of creation opens our hearts wider and more deeply to the presence of God. The presence of God is magnified in our relationship with all of creation. And to bless the animals opens us up to the presence of God as God is revealing himself through creation. And it's something that we are able then to take in more deeply, more fully, become more like Jesus, and follow him more completely in every way. And that's one of the main purposes of that. Also, St. Francis, as you know, for whom our church is named, and this therefore is the patronal feast. Those of you who are particularly from the Roman Catholic Church would have had a patronal feast maybe somewhere along the line. So we mark St. Francis today. One of the incidents in Francis's life is this. He's on his way. He's had his conversion. He's started gathering friars around him, and things are really going along. He's renounced his riches and so forth. And he's wondering, he's this deep doubt one day. Thinking, you know, should I have done this? I bet none of you can identify with that. Should I have gone down this path in my life? Or should I have married someone and raised a family and done all that? And he's there wondering, he's asking God, and the story is that this flock of birds very gently came around him and just kind of stayed around him. And he took that as God's answer to keep going on the path that he was going on. And it was through these birds, you know, it was the animals that were around him that carried the answer that he was praying for. That's another example of it. The actual eternal nature of God and his divine nature, it is revealed through creation. You may have heard some stories, especially if you have friends who are connected to the mission field or whatever they may call it, in which people who have never heard the name of Jesus, never got in contact with a Christian, had come to embrace something of the faith as we understand it, you know, before any missionaries showed up. The reason for that is that God reveals himself through creation. In fact, I've written down that verse also for you, in case you want to check it out later. Romans 1:21. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. In the things that have been made. And they have been clearly perceived that way. We more clearly perceive them as we open ourselves up to blessing all of creation around us and our animals and everything that's involved with that. And I know many of you do. Many of you just do that normally and naturally. That's a sign. That pull to do that is the sign of God drawing you to himself, drawing you closer, wanting to show you more of who he is, wanting to show more of the grace that he has for you. That's a strong bit of how he operates. Now, just to show a little more of this, what we have in the reading from Revelation today is not only proof that there's animals in heaven, but we also see how God reveals himself through animals. And here we see, behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. On his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen and white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In this scene, with these animals, carrying Jesus and the armies that following him out of heaven, there are four names of Jesus revealed. Faithful and true. The Word of God. King of kings and Lord of lords. And then he has a name written that no one knows but he himself. That means we don't know it. That's what that means, among other things. That means that there's an eternal quality to him that we will never get to the end of. That means that of the increase of his government, there will be no end at all, ever. And he is revealing that as he is riding this white horse. And the army is revealing that as well. And he's revealing that to us, that he is faithful and he is true. And he is the Word that creates within us the capacity to live as we were created to be. And he is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And the day will come when, because of his faithfulness and because he will have all the kingdoms of the world come to him, there will be no more hunger, and there will be no more sickness or mourning or death or pain of any kind. And everything will be set right in him. And that is revealed to us as he rides on the back of a horse. And the army that carries it with him is also on these horses. Now, there's a very interesting thing about this army. And this army is described this way. Arrayed in fine linen, white and pure. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. I mean, you wouldn't, if you were going to start riding a horse, you wouldn't say, hey, you know what, I've got to go out and buy some things, some fine linen, white and pure, before I can ride this horse. you might not do that. But here was this army in fine linen. Fine linen throughout the scriptures is a symbol of the grace of God. And it's a symbol of the grace of God because of this. People wore linen in that day, particularly in a Middle Eastern climate, because they were not likely to perspire wearing linen. And sweating is a symbol of our work. Not sweating, or if you prefer, not sweating it, means we are relying on the power of God and the grace of God. You may remember from, I believe it's Ezekiel, where the priests who served in the Old Testament temple were to wear linen. And the reason they were to wear linen was to show that they were depending completely on the presence of God and not at all on their own, showing no perspiration of any kind. This army following Jesus is an army that is relying completely on the power and the presence of the one who is faithful and true. And that's what he invites us to. And he invites us to that as we see his presence in our animals. It's more than just our dogs being so excited when we get home. Which, of course, carries an awful lot of that revelation, too. Or, well, our cats show it in a different way. But nonetheless, you get the idea. See, what Jesus is doing is drawing us to the place where nothing stops us from being all he has created us to be. And he is showing that and communicating that to us through our relationship with our animals and all of creation. It wasn't last week, but the week before, and of course we made mention of it last week. One of the things that Pope Francis's visit showed was this. Stops the motorcade, gets out, blesses young little kids with cerebral palsy, eats with the homeless. And no matter what you think of the Roman Catholic doctrine or trying to nail down whatever his politics are, but you think about that, all of that aside, There's something that he does for those who are on the margins, those who are hurting, those who are lost, where he stops everything and goes out to them. And we see it, and you might have been choked up a little with that. You might see people around the one he's blessing crying. Little boy's mother just crying. Well, what is that? That is the grace of God. The grace of the one who is faithful and true, touching the pain within our hearts. Just letting it show and touching it with his healing. It's a sign of what is yet to come. That is also carried to us in our relationship with our animals. When you and I are thankful to God for everything that he's given to us, and we begin drawing closer and closer to him, and we ask his blessing on everything around us, including our animals, what happens is we are opened up to that grace that only he can provide. We are opened up to that healing that only comes from his touch. We are drawn more deeply into following Jesus on his power instead of our power. We hear things that Jesus starts telling us, and instead of saying, well, how am I going to do that? We start saying, and we find ourselves thinking, I need your power to do that. I just don't have it. I need your power. It's another thing the army on the horses coming out of heaven symbolizes. See, the horse symbolizes our own personal power as well, power of natural power. And what God is telling us is it's not that you're a doormat. It's not that you are worthless. None of that is true. It is that your natural power, baptized in my grace, brings you to the place I've created you to be. And when it's your natural power leaning on the everlasting arms, brings you to the place he wants you to be. He's created you to be. Gives you to the place where you can say yes to the calling that's on your life. Brings you to the place where you can forgive in a manner you haven't been able to forgive before. It brings you to the place where you can say yes to Jesus every single time because it's his power working through you. That's what our animals reveal to us. They're not so dumb, are they? The payoff for us, as it always is the grace of God. And that always comes by his revelation to us. Whatever it is you have going on today, whatever confusion or pain, doesn't even have to be that deep, but whatever it is, the grace of God is right here, ready to be poured upon it so that you can turn back to him and follow him with everything you have. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you that you have drawn us closer to you and that you reveal yourself to us through creation and through the animals that we have and those that are all around us. We ask today that we would perceive what you desire for us to perceive and become what you've created us to become as we follow after you all the days of our life. Amen.